Welcome to the Fifth Church Community Group Leadership Podcast, where we look at one topic that impacts how we lead our groups. I'm Chad Ferrand.
And I'm Josh Wall. And this week, we're going to talk about the basic question of who should be here. And here is not the place where we're recording the podcast, obviously, though you could come join us. It'd be fun.
Anytime.
But it is more a question of recruiting and a question of when you look around and dream and envision or think about or grumble about, depending on your group, who should be part of you, who should be part of the group that you have and the vision that you have for what it looks like. And the reality is we'd love to be able to tell you, here's your quota. So you need so many people of this age to this age and so many people this and so many people who think this and so many people who think that. But that feels deeply flawed and problematic.
And we don't want to just say you should invite every person,
because you would hit your cap way too soon. So instead, what we want you to do, right, wherever you are and whatever you have going on, and we think this is true, and honestly, the church has shown throughout its existence that this is true, is we want you to fundamentally try to ask and invite in and recruit, because that's really what it is, but it's an invitation into that process with you and with God and with everyone else, those that you feel that there's a call to invest in them. You know what I mean? And the three markers tend to be, roughly speaking, and this isn't an ironclad rule, but it's basically people that like you. So that doesn't mean they think you're the best thing ever, but they like to spend time with you and you like to spend time with them. They listen to you. They don't think you're full of it whenever you talk. They listen to your advice. Once again, it doesn't mean they do everything or they follow you lockstep. You're not looking for followers. You're looking for people that interact with, and they care about you. So they care about not just the idea that you spout every once in a while, or they think you have really nice shoes, but they care about you and the place you're around and your family. It's a holistic approach. And so when we're talking about who should be here and who should be around, for me at least, I think often in those terms, who are the people around that like me or kind of like me or at least don't hate me? You're not trying to convert someone to become your friend through this, because that's just a recipe for disaster. Who listens to you? Mm-hmm. Who do you have credibility with and authority with? Who's going to respond? Right. And who serves you? Who cares about you? Who, if you were to say, hey, can you come help me work on a project? Who's going to do that? Mm-hmm. Or as a guy who just had kids, well, who are the people that just, before you even asked, just came and brought you dinner? Mm-hmm. I had a neighbor who came and said, hey, I've got a mower. He moved from 4 acres, and I live in Easttown where we live on a postage stamp for a yard. And he says, look, when I'm done, I feel like I've just finally warmed the thing up. So do you mind if I just mow yours? And you got little kids, and I just wanted to help if I can. He just wants to help, you know? So who are the people around that just want to help? If you needed something painted or moved or whatever, who would come or who would care to come? Or even if they can't come, would want to try to come?
Like, who shows up?
Who shows up? That's a good way to put it. Who actually shows up? So that's the general thing. The people you want to invest in, the people you feel called to invest in.
Right.
And then I think we also need to put a little bit of a check on there, because it's really easy to entirely insulate ourselves with people that are exactly like us, or if we're really not teasing out what it means to be called to invest in someone. And then suddenly you get a group of, it's you and your BFFs forever, and that's fine. But once again, if we think about it in terms of being a spiritual parent, sometimes it's hard to be the spiritual parent of your best friend, you know? So there's a little bit of discernment you have to do in that too. And not that you can't or that you shouldn't have friends in there, like you should, and you, that should be part of it. But you need to make sure that it doesn't feel like this clicky in-group thing where it's me and us and we get together and we do this thing. Because discipleship does not happen automatically or naturally.
Say more about that.
It takes a degree of intentionality. Any discipleship program, any leadership process, pick however you want to talk about that kind of impulse, none of them just happen. No one suddenly goes like, hey, we've got this great discipleship program that just happened one time.
Right.
No, there's an impulse, and that leads someone to start to think and question and wrestle and work through stuff and then go like, we need to go after this. And then there's a vision, and then everything runs out. However it is, and those forms all look different, but the drive is always intentional. At least as American Christians, we tend to just sit inside and do the same thing that we've always done with the same group of people.
Right.
And that's especially feels true of West Michigan. Discipleship is an intentional step away from some of the status quo at times to pursue something better.
Yeah, I think even looking at the model of Jesus, Jesus didn't go out and recruit every person he saw. He loved everybody equally, but he didn't ask everybody equally. He had intention behind who he asked.
Yeah, he didn't put up billboards in the town square that said, looking for a Messiah, come find me. Right. Come find Jesus. Follow Jesus on Twitter at blah, 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 blah. He was strategic in who he invited. And that wasn't a judgment thing. That was just, these are the people I feel called to invest in because we all have natural limitations. So if that's the case then, Mr. Chad, I'm going to kick it back to you. How do we ask? How do you really do that? What's the process? And what are some things that you've learned over the years that bring to the fore, and what's that look like?
Going back to the model of Jesus too, one thing that Jesus did when he called his disciples was he actually invited them personally. And he made an invitation. His was a bit more vague, which was just come follow me. We have to give a little bit more invitation when we call people into our kind of discipleship relationships.
So I can't send out a mass text to try to invite everyone, is what you're saying to all the people
yeah.
I know?
Yeah, I would really advise you not doing that. What I have come to find is, first of all, just cut to the chase. Just get to the point. Say, this is what we're doing. I want you to be a part of this with me. I want you to be on this journey with me. Lay out the expectations. Create a realistic picture so people aren't signing up for something that they think is different from what happens when they show up.
Right.
That is just going to create more problems. So have clear boundaries, clear expectations. We are going to meet every week. It looks like this. This is how we do our discipleship at Fifth. We're going to listen to a sermon. We're going to dig into scripture. We're going to talk to one another. Lay it out.
I sometimes feel like we do a soft sell on the front side because we want this person to come join us with where God's leading us. And you're right. Like, man, it would be great if they did this with us.
Right.
So we get to the moment and we get really fuzzy on some of the expectations and that feels good at the time, but it creates all kinds of problems downstream sometimes. And then you do it again and you're like, that totally blew up. What the heck happened?
We also need to learn the power of grace in accepting whatever answer they give. Learning how to hear a no without compromising the expectations is a big thing to learn. Get used to hearing no. That's what I would recommend because people are going to say no to your proposition of coming into this community group. It's not going to be for everybody, and it might not be ready for this person for a season. That's totally fine. Don't make it personal. They're not just rejecting you. This could be completely out of their realm of possibility right now, and that's okay. Equally, take yes gracefully. Don't freak out. Don't have a cheering section. Yeah, you just made the best decision in your life.
Yeah,
you know, that's, we want to have a measure of grace when people respond to this invitation.
I was talking with someone today over lunch, and so we're talking through things, and they said, you know, I'm really excited that we're talking about this. I really like that we're there. When this first was brought up, we had three kids in soccer, and I always thought the people that did that to themselves were crazy, and now I can confirm that the people who do that to themselves are crazy.
Absolutely.
Right? That was nuts. And so when we first thought it, our immediate reaction was like, no, there's no way. But now that season's died down a little bit, and we're entering into this process where we're going to pray about where God's leading. So if you had asked them then, it would be a, dear Lord, no, and almost laugh in your face. But now, a couple months later, everything's changed and it's a whole different ball game.
We want to make sure we're not conforming our groups around an individual. We want to make them as accessible as possible for anybody, yes. But, you know, if somebody has a hard time with meeting every week, that's totally fine. Give them that measure of, we know your life's busy. If you can only make it twice a month, that's fine. I probably won't make it every time. But let's not move the agenda down to meet the other person's expectations. So I hear a lot recently that people have this conflict. Well, I'd like to come, but I can't make it every week. Therefore, I shouldn't be in the group. That's not a great excuse. So my suggestion in that is let's not lower the bar for expectations. Let's just welcome them in to wherever they're at the moment and help them rise to the occasion.
So the guy who was discipling me and built something similar to this in the church that he was part of, and they met every week and everyone said, yeah, because they liked him. Mm-hmm. And then at some stage, they were sitting around and things got busy and someone said, are we really going to do this every week? And he said, I'm going to be here every week. If you do or don't want to come, that's up to you. But you got to eat anyway. So come do this with us. But there's no pressure. If you can't make it every week, that's totally fine. This is not like a judgment zone based on what you do and don't do. It needs to be regular and a predictable pattern so we can set schedules around it and just build it to some degree, at least into the rhythm of who we are. Yeah. And that's where things get hard if we do it every other week. Because then if you miss one, then you're once a month. And then things get really weird. And if you do it once a month, then it's really hard to build any actual life-on-life conversation that gets past the just working through the material to get to the point where you're sharing about just what's happened and what's going on and the natural conversations that bubble up.
Again, going back to the model of Christ, Christ never chased down people who didn't want to follow him. So how do we find people?
I think for me, once you have some initial conversations, then there's often this point where it feels like things stall a little bit and you're not sure what to do.
Yeah.
I think once you kind of hit that stage, then you turn to the proto community that you have, the folks that you do have. Mm-hmm. And this is part of leadership. So you say to the group, all right, this is us. Who else needs to be here? This is who we are. This is what we're about. Who are the people in your lives? And you set up and you have this little mini apprenticing session because this is how recruiting works. And you say, who do you know that we could talk to? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm fine talking and making the ask. That's not a problem. But who else should be part of what this looks like? Or you challenge them to make the ask. Mm-hmm. But I think if you hit that point when you're like, man, I don't know who to ask. Well, ask the people who already said yes. Who are the people of peace around them? Who are the folks that are open, that like them, that listen to them, that care about them, and most likely are going to fit with the rest of your group in that same vein? They'll help you discern what that looks like.
Yeah, great. Well, that's it for us. Join us next time when Josh and I ask the question, if all the world's a stage, where do the audience sit? I'm Chad.
I'm Josh. And we'll see you later.